Welcome to the North Point Community Church Podcast. We're so glad that you've chosen to be part of creating a Christ-centered, culture-changing community. For more information on North Point or any of our other ministries, you can visit our website at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com. We hope that you enjoy this inspiring word from our pastor.
As you're seated, you can turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. If you don't have a Bible, it's no problem. We'll have all the scriptures today on the big Bible in the sky right behind me. Hey, I just believe God is going to do something significant today in this house because, one, it is Memorial Day weekend, and two, it's raining, and everybody's here. Come on. Go ahead. Give yourself a hand. I believe God's going to do some great things. And we have some people that are watching that couldn't make it for whatever reason today. And maybe they're watching from all over the country. Over 200 people every single Sunday are tuning in watching. Can we just welcome our live stream right now? Thank you so much for tuning in. We believe that God is going to speak to you this morning. Before we dive into our word, I just want to let you know what is happening in our church on Wednesday nights right now. I can't really explain it. But over the last 4 to 6 weeks, the presence of God, the power of God, God is doing something in our midweek service. And I just want to let you know about it. So if at all possible, you can come and be a part of our Wednesday service. Worship kicks off at 6:30. God is doing something. And I don't want you to miss it because you didn't know exactly what was happening. We're not breaking up into our Grow You classes because we really felt like God was moving on this. And so for our entire summer, our whole summer slam, we're going to be in here together in the sanctuary, and we're just going to let God move in our midst. And so it has already begun these last 4 or 5 weeks, and I want you to be a part of that. Well, as you know, last week we started a brand new series of sermons entitled My Declaration. My Declaration. And we didn't entitle this Our Declaration, although that's what we are talking about. We are talking about the declaration that you just said, going through it line by line, because how many of you understand you need to know the biblical backing for what you say? It just makes it more valuable. We're not just saying words. I didn't just make this up. All of these things came right out of the Bible. And so that's what we're looking at. But I didn't call this Our Declaration because I didn't want you to be able to put it off on your neighbor or put it off on your cousin. No, this has to become your declaration. It has to be my declaration. I have to believe it. I have to buy into it. And so that's why we said this is my declaration. And last week we began to talk about the power of your words, the power of your words, the power of what you say. This is what the Bible says in Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death. Everybody say the tongue has the power of life and death. It says those who love it will eat its fruit. You will eat whatever you speak. And so we've just broke down the word declaration because that can be a long word that we might not use all the time. But the definition of declaration is simple. It's something that is announced or proclaimed. It's just something that you speak over your life. It is announced out of your mouth. It is proclaimed out of your heart. That is your declaration. And last week we looked at what our words impact, that our words impact our walk. Our words impact our walk with God. We also said our words impact our waves. We all have the waves. We all face the trouble and the trials of life. But so many times we spend all of our time talking about the waves, talking about the waves instead of talking to the waves about our God. And so you can let the waves get bigger than God. And whenever you do that, bad things are coming. And so the waves in our life can impact our words. And then our words also impact our worth. And that's where we closed out last week. Our words impact our worth. And that's why we start our declaration with, I am a child of God. I am a child of God, because that speaks right to our worth. And today I want to go into Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Moses here is the mouthpiece to the people of Israel. God is speaking to his people. And he says this in verse 15. Now listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster, For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. Today I want to speak to you on the subject of you choose. You choose. Let's pray one more time as we get into the word. Father, Lord, today we ask that you would do what only you can do. Mold us and make us into everything that you created and designed for us to be in Jesus' name and with expectation. Everybody said?
Amen.
Destiny and I decided that when our girls were young that we would begin to teach them about the power of your words, the power of what you speak. And when Carolina Lee was just 2 years old, we came up with a declaration that she would say every day. Now, over the course of the last 4 years, that declaration has grown, but this is where it started. It started like this: God, this is your day. I'm your girl. Let's go for it. I am brave. I am beautiful, and I am blessed. That's where it started. That was her first declaration. I mean, just as she was learning how to talk, we were teaching her this declaration that she has said every day of her lives. Now it has expanded now. Now she has added some things. I'm strong. I'm fast. I'm built to last. Her mom added some things. I work hard. I listen well. I never quit. And now she says, actually, our whole declaration that we say here every Sunday after she says her own declaration. And so why? Because we believe in the power of what you declare over your life. Interesting that when she was small, maybe 3 or 4, she said to me, I asked her to go upstairs and do something. She said, "But Dad, I'm scared." I said, whoa, no. You said this morning, I am brave. I said, you're not scared because you are brave. And if you are brave, you cannot be scared. And I'll never will forget, she stood up and she said, "That's right, I am brave." And she just marched right on upstairs. And I was like, wow, this really works. Now, it doesn't always work because we've got some other stories as well. One day she said, I was sending her upstairs again, and she said, "Dad, I'm scared." I said, no. I said, "You're not scared." I said, "You remember your declaration that you said this morning? You said, I am brave. You are not scared. You are brave." She said, "Dad, I said that this morning, and it's dark now." And now we've got Julietta coming along. Julietta's 3 years old, and we're teaching her the power of her words as well. So she says the declaration right along with Carolina Lee every morning. But we're teaching them things. And one of the things that we don't let our kids say is we don't let our kids say, "I can't." Now, you don't get to say, "I can't." Okay, you haven't learned yet. You might need to wait. You might need to practice more. But we don't say, "I can't." And so she said it this past week. She said, "I can't." And we said, "Whoa, wait a minute. No, we don't say, I can't." And she said, "Okay, I will. Can't." And then the most powerful thing that was said over the last 7 days is Ella. She is our 10-month-old. And last week she said, "Dada." The power of words unlocked my heart. I said, "Babe, you can have whatever you want." The power of our words. This is what the Bible says in Deuteronomy. God tells his people. He says, "I am giving you a choice." Everybody say, "A choice." I am giving you a choice. You get to choose between life and death, prosperity and disaster. In Proverbs, God's word says that the words that we speak are life and they are death. The power of the tongue. By the power of the tongue, every day you are making a choice whether you want to choose life or whether you want to choose death. I thought it was interesting as I began to study this and looked at the Hebrew word that we translate into power. Power. All right, power. The Hebrew word that we translate into power, listen to what it means. It means an open hand. an open hand. That your tongue has the power. Your tongue is the open hand, which signifies power, means, and direction. Your tongue is the open hand of your life. Power, means, and direction. That means that your tongue has the power and the means to set the direction of your existence on this earth towards either life or death. Your tongue is the open hand. Your tongue is setting the direction for the course of your life. And this is the thing. Every single day, it doesn't matter what you spoke over your life yesterday. It doesn't matter what you spoke over your life in 2015. All that matters is this: what you choose to speak over your life today. And everybody has that choice. And you might not always control what sneaks into your day, but you have complete control over what you speak over your day. You can't control what's going to happen over the course of your day. You don't have all of that control, but you do control what you speak over your day every single day. And one of the things that we were talking about last week is your declaration versus your confession. Okay, a confession is good whenever you are struggling with an issue and you confess that struggle. The Bible says in James that whenever we confess our sins one to another, then we are healed. There is power in confession, but you can never allow your confession of struggle to become your declaration of defeat. And so many people, instead of confessing a struggle, they turn it into a declaration of defeat, and they begin to say things like, I'm the most impatient person ever. That's a declaration that you're making over your life, not a confession of a struggle. My life is too stressful to handle. That's not saying I'm struggling with stress, I'm struggling with anxiety, I'm struggling with worry right now, but I've got another. No, my declaration is that my life is out of control and I cannot handle it. People make the declaration of, I am not enough. I am not smart enough. I am not talented enough. I am not thin enough. I am not strong enough. I am not old enough. I am not young enough. And we make these declarations over our life that become our limitations. Don't ever let a confession of struggle become a declaration of defeat in your life. And the faster you can get to your declaration, the better off you're going to be. Des and I had this conversation as we were leaving church last week, and we were talking about this confession versus declaration. And I said, one of the things that has helped me the most, and over the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be telling you about my own personal journey in this battle over your words and over your thoughts. And because naturally, I'm very skeptical, I am very critical, and I'm naturally lean towards the negative. And so I'm going to be telling you about the things that I did in my life to overcome those things. But Des and I were having a conversation when we left, and she was saying, you know, sometimes it's hard, you know, in the moment of confession to come with your declaration. And she said, sometimes it takes me a longer time to get there. And I said, but no, here's the thing. The faster I can get to my declaration, the faster I'm going to get out of this situation, of this struggle that I'm in. I might be struggling with something, but if I don't come with my declaration behind it, I'm struggling with stress, but I come with my declaration that says, but God is the God of peace, and He can give me peace that passes all understanding. And I believe that even though I've got this huge workload, even though I'm facing this trouble, even though I'm dealing with these things, God can give me supernatural peace in my life, and I'm going to receive that today, and I'm going to walk in that today. Wow, that was a confession of a struggle, but quick to the declaration so that I can begin to move forward. You can't ever let your confession of struggle become your declaration of defeat. Why? Because when you begin to declare things, what you are declaring is life and death. It's flourishing and destruction. It's reviving and it's ruin. It is the power of the tongue. It is the direction of our words. It is the open hand that you get to choose from every day. And Moses said, I hope that you choose life. I hope that there's an open hand. There's an open hand that you get to choose from every day. Power, means, and direction for your life. It is an open hand every single day. And you get to choose which words you speak for life or for death. And this is why we make such a big deal about declarations. We always talk about it. We got a declaration at the beginning of our service. Now we put a declaration at the end of our service. This is why we make such a big deal, because we are choosing to speak faith. We are choosing to speak truth. We are choosing to speak life and positivity over our days, over our families, over our trouble, and over our future. And here's what you'll find on this journey. You will find that when you speak more truth, you're going to see more truth. I guarantee you, this is what you'll find. When you speak more life, you'll begin to experience more life. Whenever you begin to speak more positive, you will see more positively in your life. And I want to make a clarification, a special note here, and that is, I don't just speak faith and positivity while naively believing that the best will always happen. Understand this. I don't just speak faith and positivity while naively believing that the best will always happen. No, I speak faith and positivity so that whenever life happens, I can be my best. That's why I speak faith and positivity. That's why I speak life, because it's sooner or later life is going to happen. Sooner or later the storm's going to come. Sooner or later something's going to turn out the way that I didn't want it to turn out. Sooner or later something is going to go wrong. Why did I spend all of this time speaking faith and speaking life? So that whenever life happened to me, I could be my best. That's what Proverbs 12:14 says. Your reward depends on what you say and what you do. You will get what you deserve. The result or the reward in life comes from what you say and what you do. Your words are producing results in your life, just like your actions are producing results in your life. And the Bible says you will get what you deserve. Sounds a lot like what the Bible says. You will reap what you sow. Whatever you sow is what you are going to reap. Whatever you say is what you are going to see. Whatever you do is what is going to be returned back into your life. That's why I can't talk like a victim and expect to see victory. This is why I can't speak doom over my life and expect to have dominance in my life. It doesn't measure up. It doesn't work that way. And the declarations that we say, please hear me this morning. The declarations that we say, it's not just something that's cute and clever. It's something that is crucial and compelling. This is crucial to your life. This is something that is going to compel you forward into the will and the purposes of God. Why? Because your words are helping to shape you. Your words are helping to shape your future. Your words are helping to shape your life. Your words are helping to shape everything in your life. Here's why. Here's where our declarations go through two phases. This is what our declarations always start with: reprogramming. Okay, it always starts with reprogramming. Why? Because the world has taught you to think about certain things. The world has taught you what to say about certain things. You probably say some things that you don't even really know what they mean. Because you heard your mom or dad say it, you heard your grandma or grandpa say it, you heard somebody say it, and you just start saying it, and you don't even really know where it comes from, and you don't even know why you say it. People say things like, oh, it's just the terrible twos. Well, wait a minute. Terrible twos. I'm not going to give away 365 days of my kid's life and call them terrible. I refuse to do that. So I'm not going to participate in that. And you know what we've had? We've had two kids and we just walked through the terrific twos. They're not terrible twos. They were terrific. Why? Because I began to speak that before my children were ever here. We're not going to participate in the terrible twos. We're going to go through the terrific twos. And guess what? Both of my girls, when they were two, man, we had fantastic times. It's just about what you speak. It's about what you have spoken over their existence. And that comes from reprogramming, because what the world has taught you is that twos are terrible. So you expect the twos to be terrible. But whenever you begin to change and you begin to change the way that you talk, it starts with reprogramming. I have got to reprogram my mind and reprogram my mouth to say what God would have me to say, not what the world has taught me to say. I'm worried to death. That doesn't sound good. Worried to death. I don't want to be a part of that, okay? But we say things like this off the cuff, and we don't even understand that our words are creating life and our words are creating death. We always have to pay attention to what we say, and it always begins in reprogramming. We have to reprogram ourselves. But here comes the second phase of a declaration, and it's not reprogramming, it's reminding. Because after I have reprogrammed myself, the way that I'm going to think about my life, the way that I'm going to think about my kids, the way that I'm going to think about my future, the way that I'm going to think about my past, the way that I'm going to think about other people, what I'm going to say about other people, what I'm going to say to other people, what I'm going to say about myself, what I'm going to say to myself. After I have reprogrammed that, I still have to remind myself. Because how quickly we forget. That's why I don't just say a declaration until I get it reprogrammed. I go, oh, okay, I'm done with the declarations now. I've reached that. No, I have to continue to say it. Why? Because I've got to remind myself about who God is, remind myself about who I am. I've got to remind myself, and we see this in the scripture, because this is what God did for his people in the Old Testament. He set up what was called festivals. He said, this is what we're going to have. We're going to have these feasts. We're going to have these festivals. And God told his people to build monuments. Build monuments, build altars. Why? So that you can remember. You can remember what I did. You can remember who I am. You can remember who I have called you to be. And so when we say these declarations, they are powerful in the beginning for the reprogramming of our mind and our mouth. And they're just as powerful in phase two as they become the reminders for our mind and for our mouth. It's the power of our declaration. Our declaration here at North Point Community Church starts with, I am a child of God. I am loved, adored, and accepted by my Father in heaven. I am loved, adored, and accepted by my Father in heaven. Let's look at that this morning. I am loved. I am loved. You are not tolerated by God. You are loved by God. I want you to say it right now. Say, I am loved by God. I'm not tolerated. I'm loved. This is what the scripture says in Ephesians 2. Starting in verse 3, it says, all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy. And he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. God does not just love you. It says that he loves you so much. One of our house habits here, it comes out of John 3:16, and it says that for God so loved the world, and we say that so love is big love. So love is big love. That's why we love big at North Point Community Church. Why? Because God loved us big. So love is big love. And it says here that he so loved us. That means it is big love. It's not a little love. He's not loving you because he has to love you. Today he's loving you because he wants to love you. It is so love. And let me tell you, God didn't just say that he loved you. God proved it. God proved that he loved you. 1 John chapter 4. God showed us. Say, he showed me. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. You know, too often we play the game of trying to decide if God still loves us based on our actions instead of deciding to declare that God loves us based on his actions. Too many times we are trying to make up our mind, does God love me because of what I did last week? Does God love me because of my past decisions? Does God love me because of my failure today? Instead of just deciding and declaring that it's not about my actions that he loves me, it is about his action. And he took action long before I took action. He chose me long before I ever got here. He is the one that decided to love me. So I'm going to decide to declare it in my life that I am loved by him because of his action. It proves to me his love for me. It says, this is real love. This is unconditional love. This is lasting love. I am loved by God. And God's not just loving you out of obligation. God is crazy about you. He is actively, madly in love with you. And that's why I put that next word in our declaration that says, I am loved and adored. I am adored. I like that word because it makes the women feel good and it makes the men cringe a little bit. That's why I put that in there for all the men in the house. I am adored. I am adored. I am loved. I am adored. This is what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. You give God great pleasure. Adopting you into his family gave him great pleasure. He absolutely adores you. He doesn't just love you, he adores you. You, your faith, your life, your journey, you taking your seat at the table, it gives him great pleasure. That's why we don't just stop at I am loved. That's why we roll into I am adored, because God adores you. And there is a level of intimacy that God is calling everyone to. And if you just think that God loves me like this because he has to or because he's God, then you won't understand that no, God adores you. He wants to pull you into his arms. He wants to wrap his arms around you. He wants to hold you tight. He adores you. He loves you. He adores you. And then we say, and I'm accepted. I am loved. I am adored. I give God pleasure. And I am accepted. I am accepted. Romans chapter 3, verse 27 says, can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. He says, can we boast because we're accepted? Now, well, you can read that and you can say, is he answering the question? I'm just looking at the part that, wow, that means I'm accepted. If he's saying, can you boast about it? I'm just focused on the fact that, wow, I am accepted by God. And I'm not accepted by God because of my action. I'm accepted by God because of my faith. We are accepted by God. Once again, we are not accepted based on our perfection. We are accepted by his provision. We are not accepted because we have obtained a level of perfection. No, we are accepted because God made a way. We are accepted by his provision because he sent Jesus Christ to die in our place as the sacrifice for our lives. Here's the thing, but we must believe. We must believe. That's our job. Our job is to believe. It's our faith in God that is the key to our acceptance by God. We have to believe in him. It is our faith in him that is the key to being accepted by him. And this God that we speak of, who is this God? Well, we put it right here in our declaration. I am loved. I am adored. I am accepted by who? By my Father in heaven. By my Father in heaven. Throughout the Gospels, it's interesting, mainly in the Gospel of Matthew, but so many times Jesus, as he's talking to his disciples, refers to God as your Father. He doesn't even say my Father. He says your Father. When the disciples asked Jesus, said, teach us how to pray, this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. We call it the Lord's Prayer. He says, our Father. Jesus didn't say, my father, because in today we can look and go, well, it was his father, maybe it's not our father. No, Jesus wanted us to understand, no, he is my father and he is your father. He is our father. We are all in the family together. God isn't just a deity. God desires to be your daddy. He doesn't just want to be your God. He doesn't want to just be your Lord. He's not interested in just being a deity. He wants to be a real daddy. And we see this in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, and we are his children. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Which for us, that would be Daddy God. He sent the Spirit of his Son. Interesting here that he sends the Spirit of his Son. Why? Because when we see the exchange of Jesus and the Father on the earth, we see a level of trust and a level of intimacy. We see Jesus speaking to him in a way that a little son would really speak to a daddy. And he's saying, look, whenever we believe and we receive the Spirit of Jesus on the inside of us, it prompts us to cry out, you are my Father in heaven. You are my daddy God. He's a good father. He is a good, good father. Maybe we ought to write a song. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, Jesus says this. He says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? If you being sinful and you know how to do good things for your children, you know how to give your children good things, how much more will the perfect heavenly Father give you good things? Can I tell you, our Father lavishes us with breath in our lungs, with food on our table, with breakthrough ideas on our job, with beautiful sunsets in the evening, with smiles from our newborn children, with great jobs, with healthy families, with new homes. Our Father is constantly lavishing us with gifts, and he fills us with the greatest gift of all, and that is his Spirit, and he fills us up every single day with love and peace and joy. He fills us up every day with power and with purpose. It is the greatest gift. Why? Because he is a good father and he knows how to give good gifts to his children. It's not just our father. He's my father. Say my father. You see, when I am fully convinced every day that I am a child of God, when I am fully convinced every day that I am loved, adored, and accepted, when I am fully convinced every day that he is my Father in heaven, I am starting the day with worth, starting the day with confidence, starting the day with security, starting the day with authority, starting the day with peace, starting the day with value, because that sets the tone for my day, because I never have to wonder, where do I stand with God? Where do I stand in the big picture? No, I am his child. I am his son. I am his daughter. Today he loves me, he adores me, he accepts me, and today he is my father. And at any moment, if I have a need, I can crawl up into his lap and to say, Dad, let me tell you, I'm scared right now. Dad, there's some uncertainty right now. Dad, I don't know how to deal with what I'm going through right now. Dad, I'm angry at that person. Dad, I need some help. I need some wisdom. I need some knowledge. I need some strength. I need something from you. And he's a good father that's always willing to give it. Sets the tone for your day. That's why we speak this declaration. The declaration rolls on. It says, I am forgiven and free. I am forgiven and free. The Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, he says, for he has rescued us, speaking of God, he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. This meant so much to Paul that he didn't just write it to the church at Colossae, he also wrote it to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1, and he says it almost in the exact same manner. He says in verse 7, chapter 1 of Ephesians, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He is so rich. Well, if we say so love is big love, how do you know so rich is big rich? I mean, that's big. He is so rich. He has so much grace and he has so much kindness that he purchased our freedom. He paid the price with his blood and he forgave our sins. This is why this part of the declaration is so important, because you could not be a child of God if you weren't forgiven. Let me just say this. All the people on the earth are not children of God. Another thing that you've heard, we're all children of God. No, we're not. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that you are his child when you believe. Just because you are on the earth does not make you God's child. You are God's child when you believe. And so if you are not forgiven, you cannot be a child of God. You couldn't be loved, adored, or accepted if you weren't forgiven. You couldn't have a father in heaven if your sins were not forgiven. That's why Jesus came. And he was the ultimate sacrifice to forgive your sins and to set you free from the kingdom of darkness, so that you could step into the kingdom of light and the family of God, so that you could move into the place that he wants you to be, and that you can move into those things with confidence and with clarity, because you know, since I am forgiven and since I am free, that allows me to be a child of God. Here's what you have to do. You got to put your feelings aside. Can I just tell you this right now? Let me just coach you for a moment. You got to put your feelings aside. Because when you sin, sometimes the weight of that sin is more important than the power of that truth. The weight of your sin is more powerful than that truth that I just shared, because we let our disappointment and we let our sin convince us that, well, God can't forgive this, or God's moving on from me. No, you have already been forgiven. God, the power of the blood doesn't end with your stupidity. The power of the blood of Jesus exists because you are stupid. Because you are going to say the wrong thing. Because we all do the wrong thing. And the power of the blood is there so that you can be forgiven of your sins and so that you can be free. And whenever you realize I am forgiven and I am free, then I get to come boldly into the throne of grace. I get to come boldly before my Father. Why? Because I am his child and he loves me, adores me, accepts me, and he is my Father in heaven. Every word is so important. I want to close out with the last part of the declaration we're going to talk about this morning, and that is that sin has no hold on me. Sin has no hold on me. And I want to let you know, we have copies of this declaration, magnet copies. If you were not here a few months ago when we gave those away, we have those available for you right out there at the book cart. You can pick one up. They are free. And I want you to put that somewhere where you can say this declaration every single day. I want you saying it in the morning, saying it at noontime, saying it in the evening. I want you to say this declaration as much as you can. Why? Because it's reprogramming and it is also reminding. And one of the things we say is, sin has no hold on me. Sin has no hold on me. Romans 6, verse 6 says this: we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Sin is no longer your master. It says, when we died with Christ. Well, wait a minute, how do we die with Christ? No, it's the glory of the gospel. It is the great exchange that Jesus took your place on the cross, because you were the one that deserved to die and he was the one that deserved to live. He took your place, and so you died with Christ. Your old self died with Christ, and what you are experiencing now is the life that Jesus deserved. It's the great exchange. And sin is no longer your master. Why? Because Jesus defeated the power of sin. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He rules and he reigns, and sin no longer has any power. It is not your master. Because of Jesus Christ, the power of sin was broken. What does that mean for you? That means that you no longer have to obey the desires of your sinful flesh. What does that mean for you? It means that now you have a power that is greater than the power of the temptation that you're facing. It's in you. The Spirit of God is in you, and it's more powerful than your temptation. I love the Apostle Paul as he's writing here in Romans. He didn't leave it there. After making those great declarations, he says this in verse 16. But don't you realize that you become a slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Our declaration says that sin has no hold on me. And that's because sin doesn't have any power over you. But that doesn't mean that you can't participate in it. Hear me this morning. Sin has no power over you. But that does not exempt you from participating in sin. And the Apostle Paul, after he wrote these beautiful words that says, we've been crucified with Christ, sin has lost its power, you're no longer slaves to sin, you've died from Christ, been set free from the power of that sin, sin is no longer your master. He says, but let me remind you of one thing. You will become a slave to whatever you choose to obey. Whatever you participate in is what you will be a servant of. You choose. Wow, sounds a lot like the same thing that God told his people in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Today, I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. Sounds a lot like what Solomon wrote in Proverbs 18 when he said, hey, your words will kill you, your words will give you life. They're either poison or fruit. You get to choose. You get to choose. You choose. You choose. You choose what you say. You choose what you do. And by the choices that you are choosing the life that you will live. But you get to choose. Well, Moses said, choose life. Choose life. Solomon wrote this so you would know, hey, the words that you speak, they're going to be taking you one pathway or the other. They're going to be leading you to death and destruction, or they're going to be taking you to life. It's one way or the other. So make a good choice today. It's your choice. It's the power of the tongue. It's the open hand today. It's the open hand. It's the power, the means, and the direction that you want to walk. So let it be your declaration today that I am a child of God. I am loved. I am adored. I am accepted by my Father. He is my Father. He is my Daddy God. I am accepted today by my Father in heaven. Today I am forgiven by the power of the blood. Today I have been set free from my old fears and my old sin and my old lifestyle. And today sin has no hold on me.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you'd like more information on North Point Community Church, you can find us online at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com.